Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? You are listening to none other than the greatest broadcaster in the DMV, the undisputed king of DC media, actor, star of stage and screen, producer, writer extraordinaire, and your host of tonight's episode of Inside Acting. Welcome again to Inside Acting. Tonight, my guest is accomplished actress Margene Holden, who has appeared in many TV shows and films, such as Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, A Different World, Tales from the Crypt, Deep Space Nine, and The Steve Harvey Show, among others. And I'm going to bring her on in. Hey, Margene, is that you?
It is me. How you doing, William?
How are you? How's everything? Where are you right now?
I'm awesome. I am in sunny Los Angeles, California.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
How's the weather out there?
You know what? It's been great. It's, it's summer, but it's been a little bit unconventional because normally at night it stays pretty warm, but the nights have been actually cooling off a little bit, so it's been really nice. The days are warm and the nights are a little bit cool.
That's outstanding. Well, we got a lot of ground to cover tonight. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, I hear you're producing an independent film. Is it cast yet?
We've got our star. We do have our star, but we don't have everybody else in it. We're going about it a little unconventional, so we probably won't have everybody locked into the cast for a while. Yeah, for the next couple of months.
So tell me a little bit about it.
It is a female-driven action picture. It's called Number 10. You can find us on Facebook under Number 10 Movie. We're going about this whole new idea and concept of crowdfunding, which is that anyone in the entire world can participate in the making of a movie by coming and contributing to our campaign. And we're launching a campaign, actually going to be launching it right after the show tonight, to take it live so that everybody around the world can participate in making the movie.
So are you at liberty to say how much you want to raise?
Yeah, absolutely. Our goal on the campaign, yes. We're raising millions and millions of dollars. No, it's an independent, gritty, it's a really gritty independent film, William. So our budget is, about $120,000. Our goal on the Indiegogo campaign is going to be $97,000. So, I'm pretty confident that we're just going to hit that. We're going to surpass it and go all the way to, $200,000 so that we have more money to put on the screen, be able to hire, a few more crew members so that we can, move through our fast-paced schedule, because it is going to be really fast-paced as well. It's going to be really exciting.
So tell me a little bit more about the plot. So you say it's a female-driven action picture.
Yes, it is. Our lead character is coming off of her third tour of duty overseas in the war. Yeah. And she's a Malaysian-American actress. And so she is coming back off of her third tour of duty and coming home to live a normal life with her fiancé and getting married, and 2 days before their wedding, he gets killed in a random act of violence in the streets. Mm. So it kicks her back into the old world of having to go to war right there on her home ground and hunting down these guys who have taken her love and her future away from her. So we're going to follow her in real time. Think like the television series 24. So it'll be real time for 90 minutes, what happens to her and the psychological process and the emotional process that she goes through in hunting down these guys that have taken her future from her.
Who wrote the script?
My writer is a writer named Michael Wirth, and he's a writer, independent film director, and an actor, and been in the business for a long, 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 long time, over two decades, and has been on camera, has been behind the camera. He's got two productions in post-production right now that he's written and directed, and so he'll be writing and directing the film.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. So what made you want to be a producer?
You know, sometimes I wonder that myself. You know, William, when I came into the industry, or actually when I was very, very young, I always knew that I wanted to be in the film industry, and I came in as an actor, but when I was acting, I was always in the mindset of that one day, later on in my career, that I will do everything. It's like, I will write, I will produce, I will direct, and I've written a few scripts that haven't been produced yet myself, and just thought, you know what? Where do I really want to go for the next, God knows how many years, 10, 20, 30 years of my life? And where do I really want to go? How do I want to set myself up, for success? And this was one of the things that came to me. I sort of sat and did my, meditation and my asking of the questions and saying, okay, God, where do I move now? What do I do now? And I always love being in front of the camera, and I love acting, and of course I'll have a small part in the film. I won't be starring in it, but I'll be, having a role in the film as well. But I thought, let me pull a team together. Let's produce something. Let me produce something. Let's go that route, and let's see, how that feels. Because I truly believe it's like, we'll try things, do things that interest you. And that you find joy in, and that you find, to be happy. And I always, been around a lot of producers and, sort of watched what they've done and put together shows and asked them questions about, well, what is it about that? What do you like about that? And it's like from their aspect, it was, creating something and following it through and then seeing that finished product and going, wow. Wow, I did that from start to finish. It's like, oh man, that's my piece, And being on set, just as an actor, I would walk around and I'd go, yeah, I can't wait until one day when, these are the trucks that are rolling up for my production. These are the actors coming to do my film. These are, this is my crew that I've together, and these are the people that I love working with, And I've always thought that every time I was on a set. It's like, wow, look at the camaraderie. Look at the team. And I've always loved being part of a team. And, from being in school, being in sports, I was always on, either in volleyball or basketball. And even in track and field when I was running and doing my individual events, it's still as a team. It's like I perform my best as an individual to help our team either, go on to victory or, to accomplish a goal that we've all set,
Wow, so it sounds like, you just want to get that sense of accomplishment, really.
Well, I mean, yeah, that, a sense of accomplishment and knowing, it's like, well, what else can I do in my lifetime? What else can I create? And being the person that I am, it's like I love telling stories. I love everything about movies. I've always loved everything about movies and communicating in that way. I'm a visual, so I like watching the visual images. I like, seeing that and watching that come together. And it always amazes me when I see a film being made. And I'm in the film industry. I'm in the process. And I go, wow, soon that's going to be a completed project. And I remember when we shot that scene, and oh, my God, that's how it looks now when it's finished. Wow. And it's just this fascinating, it's a really fascinating process for me.
Yeah, I mean, when they edit everything and put everything together, it's like baking a cake. It's like amazing.
Ah, exactly.
So How has the business changed since you started acting?
It's gone digital.
Okay.
That's the biggest thing is it has gone digital, and the way in which productions are being made has changed. I remember some years back when we first started getting into the digital age of filmmaking, where we had digital cameras as opposed to film cameras. and it was like this big thing. And now so many productions are using digital platforms to shoot. I mean, we're going to be using a digital platform, you know, high definition 7D, and, you know, and possibly using the technology of the RED camera as well. But, you know, it's just all changed. It's all gone online. It's fast. It's much more fast-paced now, and there's a lot of different ways in which you can achieve your, you know, your finished product and not have to, you know, go a traditional route. Like I said, we're going very unconventional with the way in which the way in which we're making this movie and the way in which we're funding the movie, you know, because it's a very new platform, crowdfunding, of allowing people to come onto your production, you know, not necessarily coming onto the set or coming onto, you know, the practical aspect, but to be able to be part of the process and to be able to offer that experience, to follow along the action from conception to completion. And, you know, because it's fascinating. You know, it's like, what happens at this step? It's like, okay, and what happens at this step? And what happens next step? You know, we've got pre-production. You've got development and pre-production, and then you have your principal photography, then you have your post-production, and then you've got your delivery. So it's just a whole process, and, you know, most people don't realize everything that goes into it. And there's a lot of people out there that want to be part of the process but don't know how to be part of the process. So we can give them that experience and you know, offer, you know, for a contribution to fund our campaign and come make a contribution to the campaign. They can either follow along with the action from set, you know, because we'll have, you know, different ways in which for them to do that, or be part of a screening after the movie's complete before anyone else in the world actually gets to see the movie. So it's a very different ball game now. I mean, of course, we still have the big studios, and they're still making movies, and they're still, you know, doing the traditional routing of their funding and casting and getting into production. But as an independent filmmaker, now we can take our careers into our own hands and not have to be going to the studios all the time and trying to pitch a project against the, you know, the big guys at the, you know, at that huge level, while we're building our, you know, building our foundation, building our base, building our you know, our credibility as independent filmmakers.
So is any directing going to be in your future?
Yeah, not immediately, you know, not immediately, but a few years down the track, I think that is something that I will explore, just because I would like to, you know, have that opportunity to be behind the camera and the lens and directing actors and pulling performances out of actors and, you know, and shooting some really cool action scenes.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's really, you're a woman of many talents.
I do my best.
That's good. Distribution, that's what I wanted to ask you.
Mm.
Have you looked at distribution for the film? Because I know a lot of filmmakers, you know, it's all great to make a film, but then at the end of the day, where are you going to sell it?
Right. You know, not yet. We haven't gotten to. I can't say that. I take that back. I have made a few inquiries about it, and do have some actual avenues of ways in which we are going to distribute. But it's a little too early right now to divulge all of that information. So,
okay.
You know,
yeah.
So we're gonna make the movie, and then, you know, one of the plans is to, you know, pop into some film festivals and you know, start screening it that way. And I mean, but then who knows? I mean, I've got a lot of people that have been interested just from me talking about it and saying, oh, well, you know, when you get ready to distribute, let me know, and I'll you know, give you my friend's number or my, you know, the people that I work with, or, you know, I've got some friends overseas that do distribution over there, you know, and there's just so many different ways in which it can go that we're just open for all possibilities. You know, we could go, you know, cable in one area. We could go theater in another area. We could go, you know, in a multitude of directions. So I think the platforms are just so wide open for distribution that, you know, having a product first and foremost will be, you know, will be our ticket in. And then from there, like I said, I've got some people that are like, well, hey, let me know when you're getting ready to be finished, and we'll take a look at your trailer and we'll see, and we'll go from there.
Sounds like you have a good foreign market there. You know, you've got an Asian lead, and
yes.
You know, action always translates overseas.
Yeah. So it's, and that was one of the reasons why I thought, you know, this would be really good, because having, you know, a female who's from, you know, she's from Malaysia, and there's just not a whole lot of, you know, international Malaysian actors that are out there. And, you know, it's a way for us to bridge that gap between getting a different, you know, a cultural diversification into an independent film that's being made here in the States, and, you know, breaking somebody new into the market. And she's just a, you know, she's a little spitfire, and she's really awesome. And, you know, and it's like I've seen her passion and her commitment and her desire and her drive to just, you know, to just do good work and bring value. So I'm really excited about having her on board. She's just a firecracker.
Wow, that's great. That is great. I usually wait to the end of the show for plugging, but you're so excited about this film. Why don't you go ahead and put your websites out there, and how people can send in some ducats.
Awesome, great. Well, as of tonight, we'll be live on Indiegogo, which is www.indiegogo.com/10. That's our direct link. That'll be the direct link into the site. You can also catch us Number 10 Movie on Facebook, or you can come to my fan page. You can come to Sazzy Falak's fan page, and her fan page is SazzyFalak. And you can look up Michael Worth as well, MichaelWorth. And, but the direct link is going to be that Indiegogo link /10.
And if we go to the Facebook page, for example, what can we find there? Is there like little clips and a synopsis?
There will be,
There
will be. Once we get more into the process, we'll be posting updates. And anyone who comes and contributes to the campaign at certain levels will be posting all of your names on the Facebook page, and, you know, keeping updates going there to let people know how the campaign's going and where we're at, and you know how fast we're achieving our goal, and giving out some you know, clues as to, okay, this is what's coming up, and this is what we'll be doing, you know, in 2 weeks, this is what we'll be doing in 3 weeks. You know, just giving updates and information, and we'll have some interviews up there with myself and with Michael and with Sazzy. Just general things about, you know, why we're in the film industry and what's so great about it, and, you know, our goals and dreams and vision and things like that. So, Number 10 Movie on Facebook.
Okay, very good. So now, if this was successful, are you going to make this into a series or what?
Well, that would be awesome. We could have the next, you know, number 20. We could have the next 24 television series, or,
right,
you know, a trilogy of movies. You know, who knows? We'll see where we go after this one. You know, our primary focus is of course, you know, get this one done and see where we land, and you know, and go from there. I'd love to say, yeah, absolutely, we're going to make a series, we're going to make a, you know, a video game, we're going to make all of it. We're going to make all of it, William, just because, you know, that's the way in which we're thinking. But yeah,
well, you know,
definitely see some ancillary marketing coming into play with this, for sure.
Yeah, you got was it Tom Hanks? He's got a some sort of video series out there. Video, it's sort of a cartoon like. And you've got who else had a Black Dynamite with Michael Jai White?
Michael Jai, yeah.
He has put. I don't know if he's behind it, but they have now a, it's like a cartoon version of the.
Yes.
Like a cartoon series. I think it's Adult Swim or somewhere out there.
Exactly.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat there.
This is true.
And speaking of my man Michael Jai, you know, he's really big into like martial arts and everything. And I noticed that a lot of your movies, so talk about a little bit about martial arts and stunt work. You seem like you're really into that. How did that start?
Well, when I first came to LA, I was modeling and I was acting. I modeled for about, you know, a few years when I got out here, and then just realized that, you know, I really like the acting and I'm going to stick to that. And had just always been, you know, I'd always been athletic, had always been, you know, really physical. And when I started getting roles, for fighting, and started training martial arts. And I trained Kung Fu for about 10 years. And while I was doing that, I had met some, you know, my best friend at the time was doing some stunts. And she said, well, hey, why don't you come and, you know, just come train with us. And to be training with stunt people, it was just really great for me because I got the opportunity to keep my skills sharp as well and to learn some things that I didn't know and try some things that I had never tried before. And I really loved it. I really, really loved it. I enjoyed the whole process of the stunt element of filming as well, which is why I'm doing, you know, going to primarily focus on producing movies that have action and stunts in them. But, you know, she said, come along. And then I just started meeting people in the stunt industry and meeting stunt coordinators who were running shows. And they'd always come to me, and I was sort of in a unique category at that time, that there weren't a whole lot of black females in the stunt industry. There were only about four or five of us.
Huh.
And so they said, you know, I know you're, oh, I had one stunt coordinator in particular. He used to always come to me, and he goes, oh, I know you're like this big actress and everything, but, you know, I've been so big, and would you just come along and do some stunts on this show for me? You know, I just need some stunt people, and I'd really appreciate if you'd come along and play. And I'm like, okay, why not? You know, it was a whole new experience for me. It was something that I could, you know, put on my resume and say, wow, okay, oh, that's cool. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and met so many great people in the stunt industry I love my stunties and I love my stunt friends. I love participating in stunts. I just absolutely, you know, adore that industry and have so much respect for that aspect of filmmaking.
So what's your specialty in martial arts? Which one are you good at?
My specialty in martial arts, I trained Kung Fu. So that was my, you know, that was my big, you know, sort of fight experience was with Kung Fu. But I didn't do, you know, I haven't done a whole lot of martial arts films, with traditional martial arts films. You know, everything that I've done has mostly been an action picture that I happen to be doing some martial arts in. You know, where it's like, you know, okay, we need you to kick this guy, punch that guy, then do this, then do that. You know, a combination of stunts and fighting. So I always had that ability to, you know, high kicks, really great punches, and, you know, fall down. Fall down and make it look believable, you know. So yeah, but Kung Fu was my style.
It's funny. Years ago, I digress a little bit. I tried out for a friend of mine was doing a martial arts themed movie here in the D.C. area. Anyway, in the audition, I think I had to practice like getting knocked down, and I think I like I think he made me hit the floor like four or five times. And apparently I didn't do a great job because I wound up being a production assistant on that one. So later on I wound up being taking some Taekwondo lessons. So that was
right.
That was pretty amusing.
Oh,
that was
funny.
Yeah. So now it seems like you do a lot of science fiction films. Is that like a preference of yours?
I love science fiction. I've always been attracted to science fiction, the science fiction, the fantasy, always. You know, I love watching those movies. I love being in those movies. You know, anything that's otherworldly, anything that has, you know, some sort of spiritual theme to it. I've just always been attracted to that. And that seems to be, you know, it used to be the big joke because I'm so tall that they're like, oh, well, you know, you can go do science fiction because, you know, you'd be a really great alien because you're so tall. And you know, I'm like, okay, that kind of makes sense. But it's just been the way in which, you know, my career has you know, come to fruition, which I'm totally happy with because I love those kind of movies. And I love those kind of television shows and being part of anything that goes, in, you know, to outer space or to another planet or into another dimension. It's like I am all over it. I'm all over it. I keep saying, you know, I want to be a superhero. I want to be an alien. It's like I want to be in the next Star Trek movie, anything, you know, Avatar, like, you know, let me be some sort of alien, you know. Because it just that I'm just attracted to it energetically.
Let's segue from that into some of the movies. We're gonna go back down memory lane here. You have quite a body of work. So going along with the science fiction theme, let's take a look at. I think one of your more prominent roles, maybe, I don't know if it's a cult role or you've probably been asked a lot about it, Tales from the Crypt. There's an episode of Tales from the Crypt. Tell me about a little bit about that one.
That was a really, back then, to be on that show was such a huge deal because it was being produced by all these big producers. They all, you know, the Robert Zemeckis's, and they all had a big hand in doing the show. So to be on that show, and there were a lot of stars at that time that were doing the show because it was considered to be, you know, so prestigious. So when a friend of mine was the stunt coordinator on it, and he put my name into the hat and said, you know, she'd be really great in this role because, you know, she's a martial artist. She can, you know, kick butt, whatever. And they had called, and I went in for the audition, and then they said, yeah, we'd really like to use you. And, you know, and I had already known Mark DeCoscos, and we were, you know, playing husband and wife, and it was really hilarious because we'd known each other for so long. And it's like, yeah, this will be really great. and then the tables, you know, turned, and they put us in the pit, and, you know, had us fighting to the death, but it was just such a fun shoot. It was such a fun shoot. I mean, we just all had such a great time. It really, you know, to be shooting that show and be participating in that and to get to meet Wayne Newton, it was just...
Yeah, Wayne Newton?
Yeah.
I'm going to throw some other films out there right quick. You got Mortal Kombat, Ghost of Mars, TV shows like The Beastmaster. Tell me about those.
Yeah. Okay, in let's see, in which order you came with?
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I kind of threw a lot at you there. Testing your memory.
Yes, Mortal Kombat. Wow, that was another one where... It was so fun because, you know, the game was so popular, and at when they started casting for it, a friend of mine was a stunt coordinator, and we had been wanting to work together for quite a while, and he was like, oh, I hope you get this role, and I said, I hope I get it too, because we really wanted to work together, and then I ended up getting the role, but then he ended up not coordinating the show. Man, we missed it again. Dang it. We missed it again. And we just had, we had a blast. We had such a blast on that show. I mean, it was so fun to be part of bringing, you know, the actual video game to life. And, you know, people that find out now, it's like, they look at me and they go, oh my God, you were Shiva. And I'm like, yes, I was. They're like, oh my God, that's just crazy. I mean, people that didn't know, you know, because I look a little different than what I looked like on the show. And, you know, when I talk about, if I'm on stage and I'm teaching a seminar and I talk about, you know, the body of work that I've done, and they go and they Google and they come back and they're like, oh, you're Shiva. Oh, my God. And I'm like, yes, I am Shiva.
All right. So then Ghost of Mars.
Yeah, and Ghosts of Mars was, you know, that was just a something that had come through because I had already done, I had already worked with John Carpenter on John Carpenter's Vampires, and Ghosts of Mars had come after that, and they had said, oh, well, we've just got this, you know, it was basically more of a stunt role than it was an acting role, of doing this really crazy, ghoulish, you know, crazed psychiatric patient with all these piercings coming out of my face and sharp teeth and just kind of just like, you know, fighting and being killed.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've had a lot of things. And now we're going to kill you. Oh.
Yep.
All right.
The Beastmaster.
Mm-hmm. Which is a very good story of, they said, if we continue to make you the bad guy in season two, we'll have to kill you. So we're going to make you a good guy now. Because the first season I came on the show, I was a bad guy. I was a bad girl. I was a mercenary. And I was definitely not a friendly. And they said, you know, the show's doing really well and you're getting really great reviews. So we want to keep you on the show and give you another season. So we're going to make you a good guy now, and a good girl. And I said, that sounds good to me. Sounds awesome. So I came on, you know, second season, they moved me from the dark side to the good side and became an ally as opposed to, you know, the opponent of the Beastmaster.
Huh. One of your first prominent roles was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. How was that?
Yes, that was so fun because I was actually working on the film production. I had started. Most people don't know I started my career behind the camera in the film industry. Anyways, I was already doing a little bit of modeling when I was in college, but I started in the film industry behind the camera as a production assistant and had worked on a couple of films, and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure was one of the films that I was working film production on because I said, I want to get into the film industry. I really want to do this, and I was in Arizona, and I was going to school, and school was out for the summer, and I thought, I want to be working on a film. And some friends of mine that had done a short film, they were, you know, a few years older than me, and they were had just come through film school, and they were making a short film, but they had all turned around, and they said, hey, there's this film that's coming to town that, you know, is probably going to need production assistance or something like that. Why don't you go and put in a resume? And that's exactly what I did, and I did two movies as a production assistant, and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure was the second one. And while I was working on that as the production assistant, Stephen Herrick, the director, I had been talking to him, and he said, well, I understand that, you know, you want to be an actress. And I said, absolutely. And he said, well, I've got this role, and would you be interested in doing this role? And I said, absolutely, why not? And that's how I got my acting break.
That's a pretty involved story. So let's move on to the back shows. You got my man Richard Roundtree. mm-hmm. and ballistic.
Yes. Yes. That was, I was working on a television series called True Colors. And one of the writers on the show, him and I had started talking. His name is Kim Bass. And we had started talking, and we somehow got onto the subject of talking about martial arts. And once we started talking about martial arts, we realized that we knew some of the same people, and he knew the style that I was studying. And he was like, "Oh, that's really great. That's really great." And so we had just started talking and become friends. And then he said, "I'm going to write you a movie," because he was a writer. And I said, "Okay. Great." And he actually did. He wrote me a movie. He wrote me Ballistic, because he was like, I don't know any black martial artists, you know, any female black martial artists that are out there. He's like, and he had just at that time as well met Michael Jai White. And he said, "And I'm going to put this guy, Michael Jai White, in it. And he's bad. He's awesome. He's an incredible martial artist. He's from back east, and you're going to love him." And then Michael and I ended up doing Ballistic together, and it was just like, it was great. And we kept looking at each other going, "Oh, my God, I've never seen a martial artist like you. Oh, wow, you're a really good martial artist, too. And, oh, man." You know, so it was sort of like Michael and I grew up in the business together.
Wow. So there's a couple of black shows I'm asking about, but before we jump into those, right quick, there's a question has been sent in here. Apparently you have a cousin, Eric?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and he asked, did you ever sustain any serious injuries in your action scenes?
In
sending
my
family love from Seattle.
Thanks, cousin. You're awesome. Have I ever sustained any injuries? I have been, I've been kicked. I've been punched. I've been, the most strange thing that's ever happened to me, I was working stunts on the movie Heat, and there were, you know, we were running through the streets and it was a big shootout, and there were some squibs that were going off, and I was running by this truck, another stunt woman and I, my girlfriend, were running by this truck, and the squibs went off, and all of a sudden I felt this bit of heat on my leg, and I thought, "Oh, that's really weird. I must have gotten hit by some of the packing or something like that from one of the squibs." And I was like, "Oh, that's kind of odd." And then about a week later, where I had gotten hit had swelled up, and I was like, "Oh, God, well, that's kind of bizarre." And it was like, I just kind of rub it out, and it didn't hurt or anything, but I was just like, "Oh, it's kind of weird. That's kind of weird. That's kind of weird." And I let it go and let it go. And then about, you know, it was still there, like, you know, stubborn person that I am, it was still there like 7-8 months later, and I thought, "God, this is really weird that it hasn't gone away." And I thought that must have been like some real impact, and I either, you know, had, you know, the ligament or something like that had torn or something. But I was at my chiropractor, and he had said to me, I go, "This is really bizarre." And he goes, "You know, why don't you go to my friend and have him just do an x-ray?" And so when I went to have an x-ray done, there was actually a small piece of metal in my leg a very small piece of metal had shot out of that squib or that packing, whatever, you know, from the door of the car, and it was hot, so it went straight into my fleshy part of my knee, and as soon as it went in, it sealed over, and my body immediately put like a little fat pocket around it. And when I got it out, it was surrounded by, it had formed this little fat pocket around it, and they had said, "Well, it's a good thing that your body did that, because otherwise, you know, it could have traveled and you know, bad things could have happened." That's the most bizarre thing that's ever happened to me.
Bizarre.
Yeah, it's like some uncommon, very, you know, one in a million type of occurrence.
Yeah. So, we've got Will Smith and the Fresh Prince. How was that?
We Will was so awesome. We had, I mean, and it was, it turned out a little bit different than what I anticipated when they said, you know, you're going to go in and you're going to read for Will Smith's Perfect Wife. I had no idea that, you know, we were talking like really sort of like the real, you know, June Cleaver kind of mom. And it was so funny when he's having this whole dream about, you know, my perfect wife, she's going to be perfect, she's going to be perfect, she's going to be perfect, and my kids are going to be perfect, and it's going to be great. And just getting on set with him, and we just had so much fun. We laughed the whole time just because, you know, he was like, oh, everybody's all perfect, and I'm just so tense, and everyone's perfect, you know. I was like, oh, well, dear, you know, and it was a nice way for me to actually get to do something that was very different for me, and to come up with this very perfect character and very prim and very proper. And well, honey, you know, what do you want? Why don't you just sit down here and, you know, and play video games, and like in his perfect world, you know? But then that perfect world just started stressing him out.
So from a perfect world to a different world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what do you remember about Hillman College?
Well, the Hillman College, that was actually when I got to L.A. A Different World was one of the very first shows that I actually did. Debbie Allen had brought me in to read, and it was just for a, you know, this a one-liner or two lines or something like that. And she was like, you know what, I like you, Margene. I'm just going to put you on the show. And I think, you know, that was the first sitcom that I ever did was A Different World. And she had brought me on for a couple of different episodes. And it was really nice to get to work with her because I'd always been watching her as a choreographer and as a dancer. So to be able to work with her as a director, it was just so nice. It was just so wonderful. And she was just such a beautiful woman and so gracious and so talented and such a great opportunity to, you know, to just be in her company and watch her work and get to be part of that at that time.
Yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that because I actually had Debbie Allen's professor at Howard, Vera J. Katz. He was one of my guests earlier this year. So that was, I learned a lot from that interview. That was pretty great. So we're coming up near the end of the show here. So I wanted to get a little bit into, I guess, your training and any advice you have for up-and-coming actors.
Let's see, training. You know, when I was acting, you know, really full-on acting when I first started, I made it a point to find, you know, acting coaches and classes that really, you know, helped me be more, you know, more real, more in the moment. And, you know, it's really sought out a few of those schools here in L.A. and was always working on my craft and going through scene work. And you know, one of my favorite acting coaches, I have two of my favorite acting coaches, Floyd Levine, and he was one of my very first acting coaches, and Rick Walters. And both of them just had such great style and such great technique. You know, Floyd Levine was from back east, so he was, you know, into the very traditional acting, you know, schools, and really working on, you know, pieces like, you know, The Seagull, and like Anton Chekhov's The Seagull, and really knowing from the aspect of being able to do a good monologue and do something that's a little bit more abstract and making it real and making it believable and finding the nuances in that. And then going into working with Rick Walters and focusing on, well, taking my auditions in and working every audition before the audition and really pulling out all of the little nuggets of, you know, the piece and finding something different and finding what's important to the character, and knowing that as an actor, as a person, you will always have more experience than any character that you'll ever portray, because a character are words. It's the author's words, and they have their idea of what the character is meant to be. But the character has its experiences, but you have to bring those experiences out. And the way in which you do that is through your own experience and your own depth and your own digging of, you know, of the emotional beats and what's important in that moment. It's like, what message are you trying to convey? What's really important to the character? What are you saying behind the words? What's the emotion behind the words? And, you know, my advice for anyone who's acting and getting into the industry is, you know, find those coaches, find those classes that are going to help you really hone that craft and really understand about, you know, developing that character and bringing something different and also bringing your own uniqueness to the role. I've done a lot of roles that are very in sync with who I am as a person, because I am athletic and I have, you know, done the action and those kind of roles. So I get to use a lot of the things that I naturally know, my natural skills and my natural talents, in the roles that I've portrayed. But then, you know, there have been roles where that I've gotten roles that were not scripted for a female. And my, you know, with the grace of having a manager that had, you know, out-of-the-box thinking, she was able to say, well, you know, I know that character's written for a man. However, would you consider seeing a female for the role?
Huh.
And gone in and, you know, they've gone, oh, well, that's a little different. And because we're doing that, now we're going to switch, you know, one of the other roles to being a different, you know, different relationship with the character.
Right. So interesting.
Yeah, it's been really interesting. And I mean, I think that's important, is to find representation as well that, you know, can think outside the box and see your uniqueness and see, oh yeah, you're unique, and this is how you're unique, and this is how we're going to, you know, portray you and send you out there and, you know, give them something different, something versatile, something that you know, other people that they haven't seen before.
Marjean, I just want to thank you so much for calling in tonight. It's been a pleasure. I definitely want to have you on again soon. I mean, this is very exciting, and really follow up on your film and see how it's doing.
Thank you. I'd love that. I'd love to do a follow-up, and I appreciate you having me on the show. And it's been really wonderful to get to be able to talk about, you know, to talk about the industry again. I haven't talked about it for a while, so it's a really great way to, you know, kick off my campaign and kick off talking about being in the industry again. So thank you.
Yes, I think we just kind of like scratched the surface there. I mean, even though we've had, 40-some minutes, it's just like there's so much. You just have so many talents.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that.
Well, thank you again for coming on, and I wish you a good night, and I want to say to all of my listeners out there to do something for your career every day and break a leg. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
Bye.